Support for KNKX Studio Sessions comes from OB Credit Union, the original credit union of the Olympia Brewery, home to the Olympia Rainier Pabst Blue Ribbon and Washington State credit cards, featuring the Pick Your Card, Pick Your Program option. Learn more at obee.com/beer.
Boy, I'm excited to be in the KNKX studios today to welcome our friend Wayne Horvitz, the perpetually busy pianist, composer, arranger, educator, and man about town. He's working with a pair of projects currently on tour. The Snow Ghost Trio is formed to bring Wayne together with bassist Jeff Harper and drummer Eric Eagle for a relaxed recording session at Snow Ghost Studios in Whitefish, Montana about 4 years ago. The Snow Ghost Sessions was released a few months ago. And he's also teamed up for a duets project with Sarah Schoenbeck, a classically trained bassoon player who's one of the few to take the instrument into the world of jazz improvisation. Their collaborations combine impressive technique, textural tones, and a pure expression of melody and song. And all four are playing together in the studios today. Let's let them play the music. Please help me welcome Wayne Horvitz, Sarah Schoenbeck, Jeff Harper, and Eric Eagle. Thank you. That's Sarah Schoenbeck at the bassoon. Wayne Horvitz, Jeff Harper, and Eric Eagle, piano, bass, and drums, also known in some circles as the Snow Ghost Trio. Wayne, I want to talk to you about the Snow Ghost Trio, and let's start specifically with Snow Ghost Studios in Whitefish, Montana. What was it about Whitefish, the Snow Ghost Studios, that not only inspired the music, but also got you to drive all the way out to Whitefish, Montana?
It was offered to us for free.
Ah! That'll help.
No, it's actually a really nice story. The first time I met, he just started the studio, and years ago it was offered to me for free because he was trying to get the... He was trying to get the studio going, and we did a whole other project. Then I've used the studio since, and then he called me up and said, I want to do a trade. You come and record for 5 or 6 days. And then he flew in a bunch of audiophile friends from all over the country, and we had to play, it was a pleasure, but we played a house concert at the end for it. We even moved the piano out of the main studio room out into this giant living room that was close, but... And so we did it at the end, and that was the deal. And then Eric and I did the rest at his house. We did the mix at his home studio.
Right. Talk first quickly about, well, not quickly. Let's enjoy talking about.
Sure, whatever you want.
The music. I know you brought some sketches and some songs with you, but is that how the music fleshed itself out, or was it more of a collaboration and creative process?
You mean, did I let them have their say in any way whatsoever? A little bit. No, it was the least planned project I've probably ever done, at least in terms of going to a studio for a set period of time, and on purpose. I mean, and the idea, and we didn't even know if we'd come away with a record. In fact, I think when we left, we didn't even know if we'd come away with a record. I mean, you know, after those, I don't think I listened to the rough mix for 5 or 6 months, and then suddenly I was like, this really sounds great. And so that was fantastic. But I literally, like, was leaving the house and was grabbing pieces of music. It was not a set project, except that it was a chance to do something with Jeff and Eric. And also, for me, I've really done very few trio projects.
Mm-hmm, right.
Or I shouldn't say that. I've done trio projects, but not bass, drums, piano trio projects. Traditional trio projects, yeah. So, and we're not doing that today, but there was a lot of amplified piano and processed piano on it. And so that was kind of a key part of the sound. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I think when I first started listening to your music, you were involved a lot in electronic music and really interesting analog and digital equipment. And I wonder where you're at in your creative story right now as far as working with electronics and treated piano and things like that. Is that something you still really find a lot of time for, or has it mostly been acoustic stuff?
Yeah, but I have been playing more acoustically in general, and I haven't been playing as much loud music in general. So does that mean I'm getting old? I don't know. But it's just, I've been enjoying playing, you know, just more chambers kind of music and not do, though with the occasional exception.
I really enjoy the sound of treated piano, and that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But it seems to be getting more and more popular in music, especially in jazz. And I wonder if you could explain to our audience what some basic ideas of treating a piano are.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, if you go back, I mean, one way to treat a piano is not electronically, and that's the John Cage way of treating a piano. You need to put screws and things inside the piano and change the sound that way to play in the inside of the piano, which is harder to do on an upright than it is on a granite.
Right.
Amplifying piano is something that was used in contemporary music in avant-garde experimental, you know, at Princeton University or whatever, right after the war. That's World War II, for those of you who don't know. And it's going on. And then actually, you want to hear some amazing amplified treated piano on the second Grateful Dead record about halfway through the first side. There's a whole thing where scraping the inside of the piano people don't even notice it because then it goes on to a Grateful Dead song. But so it's been around for a while. But that, I just put mics on it and it goes through pedals, or in some cases, it'll go through my laptop.
Right. You know. Now, as far as the mixing for the Snow Ghost Sessions record, that was something you and Eric spent a lot of time on. I think I read 9 months mixing the
album. Well, we weren't working on it for 9 months.
That was my question. It's like, was that a thing you come in every couple of weeks and work on, or...?
I would spend 3 or 4 weeks getting Eric to commit to an actual time, and then I'd spend, we all had lives, and there wasn't a record label, there wasn't a budget. I mean, it ended up being a record label, but that was after we were pretty much done. So we did it when we could, and Eric was really awesome and contributed a huge amount to the sound and has a great, like, project studio that sounds fantastic. And so we just did it when we could, because everyone's doing a lot of stuff.
All right, we're going to talk to Sarah in our next little break in between songs. So what have you got for us next, Wayne?
This is an older piece that isn't from the Snow Ghost session, but partly because I'm not using electronics today. There was only a few pieces that made sense. So this is an older piece of mine called Ironbound, which is a reference to the neighborhood in Newark, New Jersey, which is surrounded on three sides by railroad tracks, and what's a neighborhood called the Ironbound.
Thank you.
Schoenbeck on bassoon with the Snow Ghost Trio, Wayne Horvitz, Jeff Harper, and Eric Eagle, piano, bass, and drums. Sarah, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your unusual place in the world of jazz and improvised music on bassoon. There's not too many bassoon players that get into this style of music. I was just recently talking to Ben Wendell, who doubles. He plays mostly saxophone, but also some bassoon. Yeah. And I wonder what your training was growing up. Were you strictly classical and then developed into jazz, or were you kind of playing just music from the beginning?
Music.
Undefinable music.
I'll take it from like college age rather than when I was a child.
Right.
I was studying classically, but I was always very, very, very interested in new music. Mm. And so I kind of came into improvisation through a different door rather than the kind of jazz language. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of like, you know, at that time, there was a lot of graphic notation, there's a lot of word scores, and so I kind of got into improvisation that way. Plus, when I lived in San Francisco in the early 90s, I played in a couple ensembles that were just strictly improvisation ensembles, so we would meet at a venue and just play. So that was how I got started, and then I went to the San Francisco Conservatory to finish up my degree, and I really just became a classical musician, and all the improvisation that I had inside me got kind of tamped down, which wasn't bad because it's good for your technique to really focus. But I realized that I felt quite boxed in, so I wanted to be improvising more, and so that's what I did. Yeah, and then I studied more jazz language and everything like that from there.
Now, to bring our story to this context, you met Wayne Horvitz in Vancouver, a couple decades almost ago, and the two of you were collaborating with Ron Miles and Peggy Lee, cornet and cello, and the Gravitas Quartet, producing a couple of CDs, Way Out East and One Dance Alone. Could you tell us a little bit about working in that group and meeting up with Wayne for the first time?
Okay. It's a treat. I don't know. No, I felt really lucky. I remember I just felt like, I don't know. What do I want? He could have chosen whoever he wanted. He could have chosen any bassoon player to play in that quartet. No, but it was really cool because actually we met, he met Peggy Lee and I at the same time at that same improvisation festival. He liked both of our playing, and that's how he decided to put the Gravitas Quartet together, which has been like one of the highlights of that quartet has been one of the highlights of my own musical career. So just because of the kind of the pristineness of the music.
Mm-hmm. So now something that followed that was essentially the Gravitas Quartet plus two. Eric joined in with Timothy Young and Keith Lowe guitar and bass for Some Places Are Forever Afternoon.
Yeah.
Actually, in this recent set of shows, the two of you have added instrumentation. I'd like to ask about keep mixing it up and keeping the band kind of open to welcoming in new guests and new players. Is that something that is enjoyable? It's like, oh, good, somebody else is going to play so I can take a little,
are really Wayne questions because it's his bands. But as far as being a member of the bands, sure, that's always fun. You know, like to tour with a lot of people is super fun. I don't know. And also, not only that, I mean, Eric and Tim and Keith are fabulous musicians. So it was a treat to get to be in the larger kind of expanded ensemble.
And that was really the marriage of two bands. It was Sweeter Than the Day that existed and the Gravitas Quartet that existed.
Mm-hmm. So I got it kind of backwards there. It's the Gravitas Quartet kind of broke into the other project.
Oh, no, it was just I wanted, you know, I mean, it was just the music called for a rhythm section, you know, which Gravitas Quartet did have. And I also, so that was a blast. It was a good bunch of people.
And Wayne, tell us why you did choose this particular bassoon player to work with.
Only bassoon player I ever met. No, not at all. We played at this thing called the Time Flies Festival, and I'm going to say something I'm probably going to regret, but it was a group of improvisers doing things. It was completely improvised, and, you know, you'd say, okay, there's 12 of us, and we'll do trios and quartets, and those things can often be fun, and sometimes there's some good music, and sometimes there's a lot of not necessarily great music. And mm-hmm. But you also meet people, learn people, learn from people. But when I met Sarah and Peggy, there were two things. I mean, I liked them both instantly, and I loved their playing both instantly. But also was a little bit pragmatic. I mean, particularly with the Gravitas Quartet, and we were talking about this the other day, both the cello and the bassoon. I mean, if you go back when I was a kid, I had these records of these of Beethoven cello and piano pieces. And if it's piano and violin, the violin is going to be playing the melody, you know. Yeah. And with cello, there can be a trade-off between the piano and cello, and trading roles, and same with the bassoon. So Ron Miles did not serve that function. I mean, he's a trumpet player, but he's obviously, you know, one of the greatest players ever. But we had three people who could keep things going, both on the bottom and also be melodic. But mostly it was just two people I wanted to play with and have played with ever since. I mean, really incredible.
It's a wonderful band. I'm excited to hear some more music from Sarah Schoenbeck and the Snow Ghost Trio. Wayne Horvitz, Jeff Harper, Eric Eagle, Sarah Schoenbeck. Thank you. was wonderful. Sarah Schoenbeck on the bassoon with Wayne Horvitz, Jeff Harper, Eric Eagle, piano, bass, and drums. That was like a soundtrack that doesn't need a film. That was like the score to my inner monologue or something. That was fantastic.
Sorry to hear that.
I think we have time for another song if you'd like to play one, Wayne. First of all, what was that last one?
It's called No Blood Relations Number What? I forget.
Number two.
Oh, yes. It's been retitled number two. At the time, it was number 78 or something. It's from a silent film score, a Japanese silent film called No Blood Relations. I didn't title it that, just for the record.
Yes, I need to see that movie.
yeah, it's amazing. We actually did... No, we did a soundtrack at the Paramount for the cabinet of... Dr. Caligari at the Paramount, and that was a larger project. But we did I recorded these for a whole series of Japanese silent films. This wasn't programmatically very smart, but the other tune we've rehearsed is a waltz in almost exactly the same tempo, but it'll still be nice to play. It's called Waltz from the Oven.